This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For the first time ever, all the most romantic soul hits are together in one collection. Time Life Music presents Classic Soul Ballads.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
There it is for you. Peaches and herb.
I'm feeling festive.
Are you?
I am.
You should be.
I am.
That is legit. Like late night TV. Like.
Oh yeah.
It's
2:03 a.m.
Yep, and there's 30 minutes of that.
Correct.
It's literally like a 30-minute show of them playing all these songs and telling you that at the end, I will sell you a 3-disc set or a 6-disc set of the greatest hits of
all,
what?
All of that could be yours for just 3 easy payments
love,
of $29.95.
No, 5 easy payments.
Oh, sorry, 5. Yeah. You're right.
Love jams. The shipping and handling is like $9.
Mm-hmm, 3 to 5.
And if you don't like it within 30 days, you can return it absolutely free.
Right, get your full money back. But we guarantee that you'll love this and it'll keep you, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the stuff.
Yeah.
Peaches and herbs. See, when you start singing Reunited, we'll just bring that noise out like
mm-hmm.
right now.
Right on.
That's some old school jams.
Absolutely.
Some baby making music.
Okay. All right. That's a different turn. That is a turn. Right on.
Hey, we haven't talked to this guy in quite a while, and we weren't quite sure that he was alive, to be honest, but apparently he is, and he still writes about sports and talks about sports for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Ben Goetsch joining us. Ben, thanks for coming back, man.
No problem. I'm happy to let you guys know that I'm alive. I'm functioning. I'm well as anyone can be right now, and it's good to be talking to you guys again.
Yeah, Benny, I'm really glad to hear your voice, my friend. And yeah, there is a lot going on in the world today, especially because we've heard several reports about positive COVID-19 tests across the sports world, but that includes the NHL as players from the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Arizona Coyotes. And later is released that Austin Matthews have all tested positive for COVID-19. So, Ben, where does the NHL go from here?
Yeah, well, that's a fascinating question, Lindsay, and it's obviously just coinciding with a lot of stuff that's just happening in the country right now. Like Florida is having a huge spike in positive tests, not just obviously among NHL players, but among people. So sadly, it kind of makes sense if the Lightning are out in Florida that some of them might be exposed to people that have it. Same with Austin Matthews, who is of course from Arizona, is currently in Arizona, which is of course Nevada's next door neighbor. Their tests are going through the roof, not quite as bad as Nevada's, which are also spiking, but Nevada's spikes are not nearly as high as Arizona's right now. So it makes sense that, you know, players are getting affected right now. It's obviously not great news for the league. They, I'm sure, still have internal optimism that once they get, you know, rigorous testing in place for these guys, because keep in mind, Austin Matthews is obviously not with his team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, because of the border restrictions, and it would be very hard for him to get to Toronto right now. But he's not undergoing kind of all this phase 2 stuff, which involves, you know, twice weekly testing, temperature checks before you go to the rink and all that, because he's not with his NHL team. So I'm sure the NHL's thought is probably still, hey, once we get these guys kind of all under our umbrella, we'll be able to take care of this. And if we have positive tests, well, that'll be okay. We can quick isolate these guys, get them healthy before we actually get to training camps, which are still a ways away on July 10th. And then hopefully we'll keep these guys kind of, you know, wrapped up in bubble wrap as much as we can throughout training camp. And then of course, when they eventually try to move to hub cities to play actual games. But I mean, this is definitely a reminder that no matter how much the NHL wants to be in control of all these situations, the virus is really in control. And that's obviously the scary thing still for not just the NHL, not just sports, but still kind of everyday life.
For sure. Ben Goetsch joining us from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, covers the Golden Knights when they're in season. Certainly looking forward to getting back on the beat a little bit harder as the NHL starts talking about hub cities. Canada kind of giving the NHL the green light to consider their three hub cities as well. And prior to that, basically, it had been a lot of talk about Las Vegas obviously being a front runner for a hub, as well as Columbus, Ohio. But the focus is on Canada because it becomes a little bit more, let's talk about the economics first of all. It would be cost-effective, the Canadian dollar less than the U.S. dollar, so the NHL is going to save some money there. It would also placate to the fans there. So what do you think the odds are that one of the hub cities, say, is here, let's just call it automatic for Las Vegas, but the other one would be in Canada?
Yeah, I think I would put relatively good odds on that. I mean, Toronto, to me, makes a ton of sense if they're able to obviously do it safely there, just because you're in a different time zone than Las Vegas. So theoretically, you could space the games out all throughout the day, where you have, you know, back-to-back or as close as back-to-back as you can do in Toronto, and then that still maybe gives you a buffer window to then do a later back-to-back in Las Vegas, and you can have just wall-to-wall hockey because there's obviously very little else in terms of live sports on right now besides European soccer, which I've been forced to get very into to placate my sports appetites. So that would make a lot of sense to me. Chicago, I think, has kind of become a dark horse, you know, in recent days, just because you would get that same effect of having a, you know, non-West Coast time zone, so you could spread the games out a little more. But I think there's also still a chance that, you know, LA could get involved too, and that it could be a Las Vegas and LA situation, just because those are two places where I think guys would mind the least being quarantined for 2+ months, because that's key too, is the NHL wants to at least try to think about guys' sanities, because we're talking about staying in a hotel for 2+ months. So obviously here in Las Vegas, well, staying in a hotel doesn't necessarily mean you get to just stay in your room all day. There's restaurants, there's places you can explore even in these giant hotels. And the thought is that if you have them in LA, maybe you can create a similar setup to around the LA Live area and give these guys at least a little bit of freedom. But I think ultimately, for all the reasons you mentioned, Toronto would still be kind of that second hub favorite right now.
Oh, Ben, there's a lot up in the air, but I want to talk about the actual hockey that we're all working towards and just sports, the actual games that are played. But given there's a season resumption and everything stays on schedule, VGK is all healed up. Mark Stone is back healthy. Max Pacioretty is back healthy. So is Chandler Stephenson. They're in the top four teams in the Western Conference. So the qualifying round, they're not going to be privy to being eliminated. They'll be playing amongst those top four teams. Where do you think they stack up comparatively to the Blues, Avalanche, and Stars in terms of those top four teams in the Western Conference?
Yeah, well, it's going to be really hard to kind of measure all of this, right? Not just because a lot of it's going to just come down to the simple fact of, okay, who's flying right out of the gate? Because you might think that, hey, when everything shut down, the Knights, you know, had a less points percentage than the Blues and the Avalanche, so they're third best, but maybe the Knights just get their legs back faster than those guys and they're able to kind of run over them early on and grab that higher seed, or maybe obviously the opposite could happen. The other big X factor that you already kind of touched on there is health. We haven't seen these teams play against each other healthy basically ever this season. Vladimir Tarasenko, who of course is just one of the top forwards for the Blues team, has been out almost the entire year. He never played the Golden Knights this year that I can remember. And so getting him back in the lineup would be absolutely huge for that Blues squad and give them a look that the Knights certainly haven't seen this year. And same for the Avalanche, who have just been banged up and banged up all year with guys like Gabriel Landeskog kind of going in and out of the lineup. And so if they're healthy too, that's an Avalanche team that the Knights haven't seen yet. So I certainly think the Knights deserve to be kind of the third seed heading into the tournament. I think I would put them as the third best team in the Western Conference, but you know, you just have no idea how these teams are going to react to that super long layoff and how they're going to be able to kind of stack their lineups now that for the first time, probably all these coaches can remember, there's everyone available to start a playoff series. Usually the regular season is such a war of attrition, as it were, but now all of a sudden, guys are going to be fresh.
Ben Goetz, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, writes a lot of sports for them and is scratching his itch with European soccer just to get the sports fix. Benny, Lindsay and I hashed this out a week or so ago once we learned the round-robin format was going to be put into play and the Knights would kind of get the automatic seed into the playoffs. The fact that we have two goalies, and it's Marc-Andre Fleury's team, there's no doubt about it, but they have Robin Lehner. Do we see yourself, and put your analyst hat on for this one moment here, do we see a back-and-forth rotation between the two goalies and whoever emerges from round robin and whoever's the hotter hand gets the nod to open up the first playoff series? Or really, is this Marc-Andre Fleury's team and it's just a matter of keeping Flower healthy for the playoff run?
So I think you can have two separate ideas in your head at the same time when you're talking about that. I absolutely think that the Knights are probably going to rotate Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner to start out. They're going to be two exhibition games, I believe, is the plan right now. And then, of course, those three round-robin games that can affect their seeding, but, of course, won't get them eliminated. So I wouldn't be shocked if out of those five games, Fleury starts three and Lehner starts two, for example. Now, if Fleury is good in those three games and Lehner is lights out, do I expect that to all of a sudden kick the advantage over to Lehner? Probably not. Lehner has a lot of ground to make up, I would say, to get that crease, just because the locker room, of course, has known Marc-Andre Fleury for 3 years. They believe in him. He's their guy. I think it would take a lot for Lehner, who only made, you know, just a handful of starts for the Knights before the season shutdown, to overtake him just in the buildup. But it is going to present a fascinating conundrum for Pete DeBoer kind of throughout the entire postseason, because if he does go with Fleury, he's got kind of, you know, an ace in the hole in his back pocket. And if and when he chooses to play, that could drastically affect how the Knights postseason goes. I mean, it's no, I think, surprise to everyone that typically teams don't rotate goalies during the playoffs. I was actually doing the math a little bit earlier here today for potentially a future story. I mean, it's 92% of the minutes go to number one goalies in the playoffs. I mean, there is no split. There is no rotation. It is you have your guy and you ride him out to kind of, you know, victory or defeat. So I would anticipate the Knights leaning toward Marc-Andre Fleury in that equation. And maybe at some point, Peter DeBoer switches to Robin Lehner for a different look. But I don't expect that they're going to go back and forth between those two guys. That's just not how it's typically done in the NHL. And I don't think that it's necessarily good for either guy to have their kind of confidence shaken up that way.
Now, we were talking a little bit about that round robin round as well as those qualifying teams. But once we get past those, a more familiar format really emerges for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it kind of goes to what we usually expect to see in the spring. It's just different time of year. But you have the Oilers, the Predators, the Canucks, Flames, Jets, the Wild, the Coyotes, and the Blackhawks. And I know the seeding in the round robin hasn't been determined. We don't know which teams are going to make it through. But who do you think is a team that the Golden Knights would want to face out of that qualifying round for that opening official round of the playoffs? Who do you think they match up against the best?
No, that's a really good question. I think the Knights have matched up well with a lot of those teams throughout the course of the season. I think when you look at how the Western Conference is kind of delineated right now, I think, as I said earlier, you've got those top three that really kind of stand out above the rest. Then you've got kind of this middle pack that I would put the Stars and the Oilers definitely into. And then kind of the rest of the teams are all kind of in the same pot where they all have flaws, they all have strong points, but none of them are necessarily great teams. So I think if you're the Knights, outside of maybe the Oilers, because of course, just the incredible top-end talent that Edmonton possesses, I don't think you should be necessarily afraid to face anyone in the rest of the pack. Now, does that mean anyone in the rest of the pack can't beat the Knights? Of course not. I mean, upsets happen all the time in the NHL playoffs. Games come down to just a couple bounces of the puck. I mean, last year, we even saw that every division winner got bounced in the first round. So, of course, the Knights have to be sharp. They have to be on edge no matter who they play. But like I said, outside the Oilers, I don't think there's anyone that should necessarily strike fear into their hearts going into a first-round matchup.
Yeah, it's hard for me to disagree with you there. Outside of those top teams, I think the Golden Knights have matched up really well. But, Ben, I need you to give me one reason why VGK makes a deep runner, maybe all the way to the promised land. And I also need one reason why they won't.
So I think the number one reason, of course, is just they are such a deep roster top to bottom in terms of their lineup each night. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of teams say that they like to roll their four forward lines. Well, the Knights actually really do, and they've done so even more with under Coach Pete DeBoer. He has really leaned on that fourth line, including starting them in a bunch of games. So I think that depth is really going to give them an edge in a lot of series. I mean, we see it all the time in the playoffs where a goal by the third or fourth line energizes the team, steals a win on the road or something, and propels them to a deep run in the playoffs. The Knights have more guys like that that could potentially provide an unexpected boost than a lot of other teams they're going to face in the playoffs. And I think the same kind of goes for their blue line too, where I think with the addition of Alec Martinez, they have two really strong pairs that Pete DeBoer is going to feel confident leaning on throughout the course of a series, and a decent third pair too. We've got a steady veteran in Nick Holden, and then maybe a rookie in Zach Whitecloud, who you're not going to trust as much. And then the kind of weak spots that you, of course, have to worry about are, I would say, one, the penalty kill, which was not good at all when the season paused. And so that could become a potential Achilles heel, especially, you know, going back to a team like the Oilers, who have an outstanding power play with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. If that power play gets hot and the Knights' penalty kill isn't up to snuff, well, that can absolutely swing a couple games right there. So that's something that the team really needs to iron out. And then the other, of course, X factor that we've already talked about is goaltending. Marc-Andre Fleury has not been at his absolute best, I think everyone can agree on, this season, and he's dealt with a lot of things both on and off the ice, especially, that you could totally understand why that would affect him. But if he's not sharp in the first couple games that they play that matter, that's going to be a huge problem. And if Pete DeBoer ends up having kind of, you know, too much of a rotation, if he ends up flip-flopping back and forth between the two goalies because he has two good options, I think, as I said earlier, that could ruin kind of both guys' confidence and doom the team that way too. So just how that goaltender situation all plays out along with the penalty kill are two areas I'm really going to be looking at when the Knights get back to playing to see how they affect the outcome of games.
The newest Bundesliga fan and Las Vegas Review-Journal sports scribe Ben Goetz here on the Playmakers. Ben, thanks for coming on, man. It's been a long time. It's been kind of a drought for all of us. And once the Hub Cities get announced, we'll get you back on.
No, sounds good. Take care, guys.
You too, Benny. Miss you.
Miss you too.
All right, bye.
Las Vegas Review-Journal sports scribe Ben Goetz here with the Playmakers. Always good to catch up with him. And European soccer is definitely a way to scratch the itch.
Oh, for sure. Clearly, yeah, some people gravitate a little bit more towards sports in their free time, but Ben, he's one of those people.
Right.
More power to him.
He didn't quite go marble racing.
No. Maybe next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.